The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, you're listening to Millennial Musings with your host, Donovan Carroll, probably through the FlyPod. Today we're going to jump right in to talking about healthcare. The reason I picked healthcare is because I noticed the Charlie Gard story, and that story actually made me angrier than any news story has in a very long time. So I'd like to compare the United States healthcare system with the British healthcare system. I think it's the National Health Service. They are terrible. First off, I'd like to talk about why government can't fix healthcare, right? So first off, I'm just going to jump right in. PragerU does a great video with a guy named Bob McEwen. It's actually titled Government Can't Fix Healthcare. He explains that when government purchases healthcare, like through the VA, for example, it's a third-party purchase. What a third-party purchase is the money is not yours and the product is not for you. Therefore, you don't care about what the cost is and you don't care about the quality. He uses the example, Bob McEwen does, he uses the example, you're given $150 by your boss to go buy a door prize for a company picnic. So, you're walking down the street and you see a giant 6 foot tall stuffed animal with the price tag of $149. The money's not yours. You don't care what the quality is. You just see a funny gag gift that people are going to laugh at your company outing or whatever for whoever gets the door prize. So, you purchase this silly giant stuffed animal because you have $150. It's not yours. You can purchase this silly 6 foot tall stuffed animal. It's like when government tries to buy healthcare for its citizens. Universal healthcare, a single-payer system. What better way to analyze a single-payer system than with our own in the United States, the VA? Again, another PragerU video. I'm citing two of them this time. A video by Pete Hegseth. Single-payer healthcare, America already has it, is the title of the video. The VA has 340,000 employees, a $180 billion annual budget, which is the second largest in any federal department. It's a single-payer system. I don't care what you say. It's a single-payer system. It's objectively established at this point. 150 hospitals are part of the VA. There's 1,400 community-based clinics. Everyone who works for the VA is a government employee, including doctors, including nurses, including any sort of caregiver. It sees 7 million patients a year, which is one-third of all vets. And it's an abysmal failure. An often deadly abysmal failure. In 2014, in Phoenix, Arizona, one of the biggest scandals the VA has ever had, 1,700 veterans waited an average of 115 days for an appointment. And I believe the VA brags that it can see a veteran within 14 days. And I hate anecdotal evidence, but this anecdotal evidence pertains to the topic. There's a friend of mine, a personal friend, who's a veteran. He had to wait after he visibly found blood in his urine. 32 days after he visibly found blood in his urine. 32 days. That's an emergency. That's an ER trip. And he had to wait 32 days to get in with the VA when he had blood in his urine. The VA has been caught falsifying their records to make themselves look like they treat more people and that their time is not as terrible as it is. The VA program in Columbia, South Carolina had 4,000 backlogged appointments in 2014. Delays led to the deaths of some of these veterans. Obama's chief of staff said the VA has a corrosive culture with significant and systemic failures. And that's from Obama, who wanted a single-payer health system. Politicians spend more money to fix it, and not one administrator during this 2014 series of scandals was fired. Not one. The video goes on to propose a solution of providing veterans with a voucher, essentially just giving them their own health insurance on a private scale. You'll have to watch the video. It explains it a lot better than I could. I read a later article about the Cato Institute because I was tired of people touting the British system as the moral system, the better system, the objectively better system, and I think that's crap. I think we're able to see a single-payer healthcare system in the United States. It's awful. The PragerU video explained that. We understand why government can't fix healthcare because all healthcare purchases by a government are third-party purchases, and yet we want the single-payer system that the United Kingdom has. Okay, the Cato Institute, yes, I know the Cato Institute. It's a right-wing, people call it right-wing propaganda. It's not propaganda. I do believe they have peer-reviewed studies. They fund these studies themselves, and they cite all their sources. I don't understand how it's propaganda, but people call it propaganda, and they're going to discredit my podcast right away because I cite the Cato Institute, but I don't care. Just listen on. If you're one of those people who doesn't like the Cato Institute, listen on anyway and either try to verify or discredit the facts and statistics I put out. Now, this Cato Institute study is a little old. It's 12 years old. So pre-Obamacare, that's important. It's pre-Obamacare, and it does a good job juxtaposing the UK with the United States. So jumping right into the UK statistics, at any given time in 2007, I believe, was the time of the study. No, 2005, sorry. At any given time in 2005, there were roughly 1 million people waiting to get appointments in the United Kingdom. That's 1% to 2% of the population. Canada had 900,000, New Zealand had 90,000. All of these is roughly between 1% to 2% of the population of these countries. There is no market mechanism in these countries to determine who needs care first. There's no system of triage. And by triage, I mean treating the people who need it most first. When you're in a car accident, you go for the person who has a bar through their stomach and they're bleeding. You don't go for the person who has a headache, you know what I mean? That's triage. And there's no system of triage in these countries with a single-payer system. The myth that people like Occupy Democrats and the other 98% like to throw around is a higher quality thing. I don't know why they try to say there's a higher quality, because there's not. British doctors see 50% more patients than Americans do, and that's with roughly 10% of the population. I don't know what percent of the population the UK was versus the United States in 2005, but I know now it was roughly 10%. And I don't know what's happened with the immigration influx, what the population of Britain is now. I should have looked it up before I started this podcast, but I know right now it's roughly 10% of the United States. So back then, it couldn't have been much less. In America, there is 5 times more coronary surgeries as there are in Britain. Britain invented the CAT scan. Finally, something valuable that the United States didn't invent. Britain invented the CAT scan. But they only have half the amount of CAT scans per capita as the U.S. They invented them, but they have half as many per capita. It doesn't make any sense. 1/5 of women who get breast cancer in the U.S. die. Half of women who get breast cancer in Britain die. The same statistic is consistent across testicular cancer for men. Far more men in the UK who get testicular cancer die than do men in the United States. It seems like feminists would jump on that. A lot more women dying in the UK from their single-payer system, but they won't. The private sector within the city of Dallas, right? So the private sector within the city of Dallas, all those hospitals and businesses and research institutions and universities. I'm stumbling over my words today, I apologize. All the private sector within Dallas spends more money on research and development than the nation of Canada. Think about that. The city of Dallas within the private sector spends more money on research and development than Canada. Why? A government doesn't have the money to fund a $1 billion cancer study. This is what's happening in the United Kingdom. In a single-payer healthcare system. I know I just jumped from Canada to the United Kingdom, but they have similar systems. They're both are put on a pedestal as fair and just and moral and single-payer systems. And let it be known that the United Kingdom just banned routine surgeries applying to hip and knee. They banned hip and knee surgeries from fat people and from smokers. If you're obese or if you smoke and you're in the UK, as of this time last year, you can't get any joint surgery. None. And this is from The Telegraph. This is from a United Kingdom paper. This isn't from Cato or Joe the Plumber or Drudge Report or The Blaze. This is from telegraph.co.uk saying this. It says, hospital leaders in North Yorkshire said that patients with a body mass index of 30 or above, as well as smokers, will be barred from most surgery for up to a year amid increasingly desperate measures to plug a funding black hole. The restrictions will apply to standard hip and knee operations. Do you think the healthcare provider that refuses to treat obese people and smokers because of budget cuts is going to fund cancer research? No, they're not. And by the way, all these people who say we have a right to healthcare, what's this proof? This proves that they don't want a right to healthcare, they want a right to health insurance. Sure, these people are insured. Sure, these people are insured, but they're fat and they smoke, so they're not getting care. And in hip and knee operations, that could be preventative, that could be curative, and they're not getting them because it's not a right. You can say it's a right, it's not a right. That's a myth. So I want you to do a lot of research for yourself, but think about that stuff. There's no counter argument to that. The United Kingdom, it says it right here. This whole past year, they've been refusing to do hip and knee operations to fat people and smokers. And they want this sort of thing in the United States. The left wants this sort of thing in the United States. And we have all these horror stories about that one couple that had children. They both committed suicide because they couldn't afford their healthcare bills. That was in July, I think. Well, I thought Obamacare was supposed to fix that, right? We were all supposed to have healthcare. Wasn't Obamacare supposed to fix that? What did Obamacare do? It's causing people to commit suicide. I don't know if Obamacare caused it. But I thought that was supposed to give people insurance. Wasn't that supposed to bring a European-esque system to the United States so we wouldn't have people committing suicide over their healthcare bills? I thought so. But no, people are going to find a way to blame free market medicine like we have. A couple more things. Tucker Carlson, I know, Tucker Carlson, you're gonna say I'm a right-wing nut because I cite Tucker Carlson. But on his show on June 29th, he had a Dr. Brian Callister on there. He had two patients. He called a medical director to do a simple hospital-to-hospital transfer for them. He wanted to do a curative procedure on these two patients, one in Oregon, one in California. Curative, right? So 1 month he calls for his organ patient on behalf to the medical director and says he wants to do a hospital-to-hospital transfer, a curative treatment. The medical director denied coverage for Dr. Brian Callister's patients. A month later, he called on behalf for the California patient and was denied coverage for this curative treatment. You know what's legal in Oregon and California as of recently? Physician-assisted suicide. You know what this insurance company covered? Physician-assisted suicide. What's cheaper, a $200 pill to have your sick patient commit suicide or a curative treatment that costs tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars? What's cheaper? What is the insurance company going to want to cover when you incentivize them to put no value on life? They're going to cover suicide. They want the patient to kill themselves because it's cheaper for the insurance company. Plain and simple. Now you're going to say, oh, Donovan, insurance companies are so evil. These private corporations that you seem to think have the solution are so evil. Look what they're doing. They're covering suicide and not these curative treatments that Dr. Brian Callister wanted to perform on these two patients from Oregon and California. Well, no. You're the one who created a society in which you wanted little Charlie Gard to be murdered by the state. You advocate for that. That's what you advocate you for. Charlie Gard was not allowed to come to the United States for experimental treatment because he was supposed to die with dignity. What do you know about dying with dignity? You're still alive. Charlie Gard was over in the United Kingdom. His parents raised $1.6 million to have this experimental treatment done in the United States. And you took that away from him. And you told him that he should have to stay in that hospital and die with dignity. Liberals said this. That's mainstream thought. It's happening. And it's happening in the U.S. with this Dr. Brian Callister case. This is where I see inconsistency with the left. They did not even want to use little Charlie Gard for a science experiment. They just want him to lay in his bed and die. His parents weren't even allowed to take him home. His parents had $1.6 million set aside to bring him to the United States to try this experimental treatment. And you decided that still, not even for science could this child have a chance. You thought he should die with dignity. And I'm speaking to leftists here who support this single-payer system. Would not the pro-science thing to do have been to let him come? And if he dies horribly, so be it, but we learned more about the drug for a future baby, perhaps? No, that would not be consistent with your ridiculous healthcare system. So, yeah, Charlie Gard bothers me. You're sort of dying with dignity, you're encouraging people to die because it's too expensive to treat them. That's coming to the U.S., and it's because of the government. It's because of the single-payer system that leftists advocate for. It's happening. It's happened twice now. How does that not spook the crap out of you? Two people possibly wanting curative treatment, their insurance companies don't cover it, and they say, oh, by the way, take this $200 pill that will kill you. It'll end your suffering. You'll die with dignity. By the way, I hate that phrase because it marginalizes dignity of death to people who choose to end their life. Are you going to say a cancer patient who fought for every last breath, eyes bulging out of their head for hours at a time, didn't die with dignity? I think that family of that cancer patient would have words to exchange with you. Because as far as I'm concerned, that person died with dignity. They died a natural death. And you're saying anyone with a condition that has the potential to be cured should still give up their life? That's what these insurance companies are saying? That's what the United Kingdom government said about Charlie? They should give up their life because it might not fit normalcy? When we take away the value of life in our society, we're encouraging our private companies to behave the way those insurance companies are doing in Oregon and California. A third of children in Europe are aborted. How do you think they're going to treat little sick Charlie Gard? They don't respect them when they're in the womb. Why should they respect them when they're out? We have politicians here in the United States. Hillary Clinton, she almost won the election. And she's okay with partial birth abortion. Michelle Obama called it a vital medical procedure. A vital medical procedure is taking a scissors and sticking it into a baby's neck and severing the spinal cord when it's get it to be born breached. And when its little hair is still in the womb and its little top of its head, you jab it with the scissors. Yeah, that's the vital medical procedure. But when our society is doing things like that, what do you expect? You're going to see tons of Charlie Guards. You're going to see tons of these poor people in California and Oregon who just want curative care but can't get it because it's cheaper to kill them. That's what we're headed towards. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Take a look at those PragerU videos. Take a look at Live Action News has a lot of good stuff. LifeSite News has a lot of good stuff about this, about the Charlie Guard case and about cases like what I just read about with Dr. Brian Callister's patients in Oregon and California. Of course, that article on the Cato Institute, if you'd like a link to it, follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Donovan Carroll, capital MM for Millennial Musings. So give me a follow in there. Thanks for listening to the podcast. There'll be another one next month, of course. If I get enough positive feedback from you guys, perhaps on Twitter, you should go follow me. If I get enough positive feedback, I might go more often. So thanks for tuning in. Have a good day.